Welcome to Reality TV, the podcast where we cringe watch all the shows we love and love to hate. I'm Jody, and I'll be your inner voice as I break down all the shows we watched together this week. No shame, no regret, just wanting all the reality we can get. Remember to check the show notes for how to find me and the rest of our chosen people. Facebook and Instagram, Welcome to Reality TV, and Twitter at Reality TV Pod. And for bonus episodes, head on over to patreon.com/welcometorealityTV. And now, on with the show. Hey, welcome back. What do we have in store for us today? That would be the season premiere of Married at First Sight. It is back. We have a little mix-up this season, but first let's quickly recap. We still have Dr. Pepper Schwartz, who's actually, I think, Mel Brooks' character, Yogurt, in Spaceballs. May the Schwartz be with you. Because for real, she is lucky if she is 4.5 feet tall. But she is a horny little minx. There's an article circling the internet about her. I've seen it in a couple different places. So I decided to dig a little deeper. If you just Google Dr. Pepper Schwartz, it's going to be maybe the third or fourth thing down. And it is all about her sexual prowess and appetite. And Dr. Pepper apparently enjoys getting quite a lot of pep from quite a lot of peppers, at least at the time of this article, because I also found out that she has 2 grown children and married a guy about 3 years ago. And he is a patent attorney from Washington State, and they live on a horse farm together. Very cute, Dr. Pep. Back from last season, we have Pastor Calvin Roberson. I want to like this guy, but past seasons have shown, I'd say these experts, let's just always assume that's in quotes, are not as good at their chosen careers in guiding marriage as they'd like to seem. He and his wife are a marriage boot camp therapy, maybe they want to call themselves a powerhouse couple in Atlanta, which means that we're surely going to see his wife on a season of Real Housewives next to Portia or Nene or whoever's trying to find a good man or God this season. New to this matchmaker crew, we always got to have a switch up, we have Dr. Jessica Griffin. According to her Lifetime bio, she is a clinical and forensic psychologist with expertise in trauma, well, that fits the show, relationships, and high conflict divorce, and has been working with couples and families for over 15 years. So I guess we have the person to call when these sham marriages all fall apart. Clearly, Lifetime is just trying to cover their asses after all these disastrous marriages that they've created in the past. That season with Jessica and her hot cokehead husband, Ryan, allegedly, was one of my favorites of all time. But before we start the season's new couples, let's just take a look at the past few seasons, because out of 15 couples, only 3 are still married. There was 2 couples from season 1 and 1 couple from last season, season 5. That's exactly a 20% success rate. Yikes. Now, every season, there is always one guy that I cannot stand and want to tell off immediately. It's always the guy who thinks he's way more attractive than he is, who somehow smooth talks or schmoozes his way with the experts. Okay, well, sometimes there's more than one guy. But this season, that guy for me is Jonathan. I already smell a bad temper and an overinflated ego. Think Nathan from Teen Mom, Janelle's second baby daddy. He just has this frat boy, or maybe even wannabe frat boy arrogance, and like a guy who wants to start a fight at a very lovely backyard barbecue, and it's going to be over something like how he's obviously going to win cornhole because he was in the army. Hoo-wah. Now, that was just my initial gut reaction to seeing him, but then we actually got to learn some facts about Jonathan. He said he enjoys scuba diving and skydiving, both somewhat expensive hobbies. Interesting for a guy who is unemployed, but more on that later. We also learned that he served in Iraq in the Army from 2009 and 2010. Thank you for your service, but unfortunately, I do not see that on my list as something that gives you the immunity idol for ridicule. So let's proceed with the roasting. His parents got divorced in high school. Whose didn't? It's 2017. And he thinks dating in Boston is terrible. As Jimmy Fallon and Rachel Dratch would say, no, you are. Now, here's where I really started seeing some significant red flags, aside from me just not liking his face. My 2018 mantra is to listen to my intuition and the vibes that I get. So I'm just going to practice that and do some self-care here. He says he's looking for a best friend to do things with. Okay, here's my vibe. That sounds normal-ish. Then when he follows it up with, I want to pick someone up at 2 a.m. when they are calling for help, I'm getting a record scratch. This gives me the vibe that he likes to be the hero in a relationship. He's going to be the one that wants to be looked up to, like he's such a savior, and he needs to be needed and wanted and idolized bad. So I'm just going to go out on a limb here and say he's had girls in the past that break up with him because they don't stroke his ego enough. And he gets pissed off when they just treat him as an equal. Like he wants a girl that's all Sandra D, giddy to be around him. Well, let's keep moving because there's plenty more why I don't like him. For example, he has a ginormous cat named Dawn. All right, I might lose one of my three listeners here, but a man who owns a cat and names her Dawn, run, ladies, run. Something tells me he will never let someone take Dawn's place in bed next to him, and he takes Christmas jammy photos with her and shit because Dawn is my best friend. No, I don't like it. Okay, we're not even done yet because Jonathan also left his job to go on this show. Now, he says he lost his job, but don't be fooled by his language trickery here. He either quit because they said he couldn't take a bunch of time off of work, which is stupid in this economy, or they just used this as a reason to fire him because he sucked at his job. I don't believe someone would be fired from a job that they're really good at, they're making a good living, if they wanted to go on a show, unless that person was given an ultimatum, like, we can't afford to have someone gone that long, so it's either your job here or the show. And what does this guy do? He chooses a show because he thinks it's his ticket to fame. So all of these questions naturally led me to a little thing called LinkedIn. Well, I can tell you from his resume that although John has two master's degrees, he cannot keep a job. In less than 3 years, he's had four job changes with four different companies, from keeping a job from 3 months to the longest being almost 10 months. Something tells me if you are bouncing around that much, something's up. Well, we meet up with Jonathan again at the tuck shop, and we meet his friend Megan, who is John's best woman. I'm going to say she's reason number, three, four, that he isn't keeping a girl around after Dawn the cat and his Adonis complex. We also got to see him at the ring shop. He walked in clearly thinking he was going to be the hottest of the guys because I took note to watch him as he sized up the other guys. When Ryan walked in, he did a full up and down scan like, oh no, this guy might be of equal attractiveness. Well, we find out that not only is he just a big old bag of dicks, but he also has no money to spend on a ring, which begs the question, these guys actually have to pay for these rings? There is no way, right? Is this something where the show reimburses them or they tell them that they are budgeted to what they could really only pay in reality? Let's deep dive on this one. We got to find that out. So while Ryan, his cohort, is dropping around $2,500 on a ring, Jonathan is sweating the $1,000 ring that he can buy. And if that isn't enough, he goes on full bro mode at lunch, offending the other guys. He's trying to impress him with like this douchebag humor. It was truly cringe-worthy TV watching at its finest. But it all comes back to the line producers kept reminding Jonathan to say, but I'm unemployed, so his lucky bride-to-be. Now, speaking of this bride-to-be, let's meet Molly. Molly has a job. She is an insurance claims adjuster, and she's skinny, and she looks good in a bikini, so I'm already jealous. She likes to sit poolside in jean shorts, which is an interesting choice, as I can only assume there would be some swamp crotch situation out in the sun. But perhaps she's immune to that because her thighs are not even close to touching. So maybe she just gets a healthy breeze between there. I would not be one to know. Well, she doesn't think she's the best at picking men, which kind of makes me fear for her that she's just going to assume Jonathan was picked for her and he's going to be her hero and savior. And he's just going to dig that vulnerability, right? I don't know. I don't like it. The experts pipe in to explain why they paired these two together. Molly has a close family, and Jonathan needs close family. Jonathan has adventure. I'm guessing they mean the scuba diving thing. And Molly needs more adventure in her life. Well, yeah, she probably does, as we all do. But it's because she has a job, and she's not just dicking around playing scuba diver instructor. So we see Molly at the dress shop, and of course, she looks good in every dress because she's basically a hanger with a width of a sheet of loose leaf paper. She turned to the side, and I lost sight of her for a moment, but I only spotted her like, where's Waldo? Because she has the brightest bleached white teeth I've ever seen. And I know I'm officially old because I legit started worrying about her tooth enamel from all the over-bleaching. She ends up picking a pretty, but pretty boring dress. I don't know. I wasn't a huge fan. She has a stripper at her bachelorette party, whatever, not too exciting. And on her wedding day, she's getting emotional about her dad who died 6 years ago. She looks really pretty. And when her friends see him, they think that she's going to like him. I think they are going to be our couple to watch this season. All right, couple number two. Let's talk about, let's go Ryan and Jacqueline. Jacqueline is spelled more normal than 90 Day Fiancé Evelyn's mom, Jacqueline. Thank God. Ryan is a firefighter. On the weekends, he does construction, and he also owns a three flat, so he's a landlord busy with that. Nice investment portfolio, Mr. Ryan. And I like that he has a good work ethic. I'm digging him so far. His exercise and hobby of choice is paintball? I don't know. That I don't like. It screams post-prom weekend activity 1996 to me. I don't know, maybe I'm just old and it's making a comeback. Well, Ryan wants to have a family to come home to. He wants to make his wife breakfast. You hear that, Dave? He wants to make his wife breakfast. All right, now, you know me. I clearly think this guy seems normal. He's not my type physically so much, but there's something else I didn't like. He was cutting potatoes with a Bluetooth in his ear. I mean, really, you're that busy. You can't put someone on speakerphone or halt your potato slicing for just a minute to take the call. That was a vagine clenching moment for me. I don't like that. There's a scene where he tells his family he's getting married and his mom is drinking wine and cries a lot like me, so I'm keeping my eye on her. I may become a fan. And his sister looks a lot like the bride-to-be Jacqueline to me. I need another look at her, but I don't know. That could be weird, marrying your sister's doppelganger. I think Ryan fancies himself a style guru or a stylish guy, which, again, I like him, but it concerns me a little bit. His humor so far is offsetting that, but I have my finger on the pulse. Fear not. I'm on it. At the tuck shop, Ryan chooses a beachy summer look for his suit. He's going with like a beige khaki kind of thing. It suited him, no pun intended. He did pretty good. At the jewelry store, while Jonathan was sweating that $1,000 Sam's Club ring, Jonathan is going to upgrade to the ring that's $2,300. Again, do they really have to pay for these? Either way, good job, Ryan, for not cheaping out and saving up for this kind of stuff. So at Ryan's bachelor party, I know it sounds like I'm giving him a lot of side eye, but that's just my personality. I'm actually thinking he's normal. But he said, and I quote, "I'm a young, handsome fella with my own look and style. I'm looking dapper. Let's toast that she's going to be everything I ever wanted." He's got a healthy self-esteem. I just don't know if it's warranted yet or not, so I'm just going to hold off judgment. During the actual party, he is sweating, he's wasted, he's dancing. He's doing those like Russian squat jump things at one point and sweating through his vest at an alarming capacity. Like to sweat through an undershirt, a button-up shirt and a vest, and you're drinking, he's lost a lot of water weight and through that perspiration and alcohol, right? I mean, he's going to need probably some Pedialyte, maybe a six-pack of Gatorade to get through that hangover. Now, let's meet his match, Jacqueline. Jacqueline is a teacher-turned-sales rep for a web-based learning company. Thanks again, LinkedIn. She's into sports and active lifestyle, and she's going to be running the Chicago Marathon in 2018. Thanks, Google. She comes to the show after her boyfriend passed away almost 2 years ago. She believes that this boyfriend was her soulmate. She hasn't been able to find anyone to quite compare to him, and that is pretty sad, right? To me, Jacqueline seems cute, normal. Nothing is jumping out to me at this point as things I can make fun of, which is very rare for me. But, you know, this is only episode one, so just give me some time. It seems the experts match these two because they came from idyllic childhoods and both parents are still in love and perfect examples. And while dress shopping, Jacqueline tries on one dress and decides right there and then it's the one. I wish I had that kind of decisiveness in my life, even for the most mundane things. For her bachelor party, or bachelorette party, I should say, she has drinks with her friends and they predict what his name will be, and she guesses Ryan. Do you think they did a deep dive as we tend to do and maybe found possible men trying out for the show and just followed some leads? Because it sounds a little suspicious to me. Well, sure enough, on the day of the wedding, her friends are seated before Jacqueline comes out. We haven't seen that yet. And they see Ryan, and they think Jacqueline is going to dig him. and they're all surprised that, ooh, she picked the correct name. I have a good feeling for these two, but I don't know if there is going to be crazy physical sparks that fly. Jacqueline seems a little slow to warm up, but we shall see. All right, our third couple is Shawnice and Jeffdy. Jeffdy is a 26-year-old elementary school teacher. He describes himself as caring, funny, shy, and reserved. He's the oldest of 9 kids, and it appears that he's still very close to his siblings. I like it, but he is moved out on his own. He visits his mom to tell her of his wedding. Surprise, I'm getting married in 2 weeks. And her reaction is, you need a lot of prayer. This is a big mistake. You don't know who you're going to be sleeping next to. You know, well, she's not wrong, but there's a hint of Mother Jeffdy being a little unhinged. His little brothers on the couch were the cutest damn things I have ever seen. I kind of want to kidnap them. They seem happy about it. I loved it. I had to check myself at this point in the show because I thought it was kind of sweet that Jeffdy called his mom mommy, but this is something I hate that adults do. If you call your parents mommy or daddy, or refer to them simply as mom and dad to other people besides your family, like if I were talking to you and I just said, oh, mom went to the store today and dad has to go to the doctor. No, they're not your mom and dad. I'd say my mom went here and my dad went there. So I'm not quite sure why it was okay for Jeffdy to get away with this, but I'm gonna put a pin in it and let you know later. So at the tuck shop, Jeffdy picks out an interesting, it was complicated. There was lots of angles and folds happening. He just wants to impress his bride, not disappoint her. And at the ceremony, you could tell he's really nervous. He's anxious. He just wants to get it going. So let's meet his match, Shawnice. Shawnice is 29 years old. She's a cosmetologist, and she also has a wig line. So watch out, Portia from Real Housewives of Atlanta. You got some competition. Shawnice's dad has 9 kids. Her mom has 4 kids, and she's the oldest of them all. Gee, so this is the thread that the experts use to match them. They're both the oldest of their baseball teams of siblings. I think Shawnice is super cute. Definitely looks younger than 29 to me. I got to find out what her skincare regime is. And when she tells her mom that she got matched, her mom starts crying. I am liking Shawnice so far. When she goes to try on dresses, she's at some other shop than the other two. Didn't get that. And there's a guy who works there thinking he's clearly the next Randy on Say Yes to the Dress. And I hate myself for knowing that there's a man named Randy on that show because I hate it. I've only seen it twice because it's boring. It's a fucking wedding dress. Just pick one and move on. But Shawnice is having fun. She's dropping it like it's hot. But when she finds her dress, she full on starts ugly crying. But I still thought it was sincere and adorable. Fast forward to her bachelorette party, and she looked amazing. She is so pretty. Whatever she did to her hair and makeup, loved it. Do that every day. She has a lot of emotional moments when we get to her wedding day, and I was very concerned for her makeup. But what concerned me more, and I know you, was the meeting of the moms on either side of the aisle. Oh Lord, I think we might have a battle of the mother-in-laws on our hands. Shawnice's mom sees Jeffdy walk in and she feels relieved because she thinks he looks handsome and he does have a great smile. But without skipping a beat, Jeffdy's mom says, your daughter better treat him right. I mean, that right there, that's fighting words. Because I'm not going to lie, I would get extremely defensive and I would snap back if someone said that to me. It would be like, your son better treat my daughter right. But Shawnice's mom was a better person than I, because she responded with a perfect, they better treat each other right. Now, scenes for next week look a little scary because it looks like Jeffy's mom stands up in the middle of the ceremony. Let's cross our fingers that it's just an editing thing, which these producers love to do, because if it's not, holy crap. But I'm just going to make a prediction for this couple. I don't see it going well. Jeffy seems a little too immature or naive to me. He's 26. Shaunice is 29. Like I said before, the experts match them based on the fact that they are the oldest in their big families. But I think Jeffy is going to look at the relationship as, finally, I have someone to take care of me for once. And Shaunice is going to be thinking the same thing and be like, oh shit, why am I taking care of this guy now? I want someone to take care of me. I don't know. I just think Shaunice needs a take charge kind of guy. And I think Jeffy's just a little too shy for her. But of course, the next several weeks will tell. And let's all just do a collective preemptive moan to hearing the same endless recap for the first 30 minutes of every episode, how these couples have never met before. They're strangers. Crazy. Which is why a lot of these recaps are probably going to be shorter than normal, because really, I'm recapping a 30-minute episode. So apologies, or you're welcome for that if you like shorter podcasts. But of course, I am going to be all in regardless, and I guess that just gives me some extra time to deep dive. All right, that wraps it up for today. Remember that Sister Wives premieres this Sunday night on TLC, followed by Teen Mom OG on MTV on Monday, Married at First Sight again on Lifetime on Tuesdays, and from the producers of 90 Day Fiancé on WeTV, Love After Lockup on Friday nights. You know that's got to be good. I will be recapping all of those and also Seeking Sister Wife, which premieres in about a week and a half on Sunday nights. Remember to check the pinned post in the Facebook group. If you search Welcome to Reality TV on Facebook, you will find that group and I will add you, as long as you're not some weirdo, and just help answer those questions that I put on there. That kind of helps me sift out trolls and bots and all that from us normal apples, right? So check that pinned post. You'll see all the shows that are going to be recapped, all the shows on TV for January, and find all my other good unfiltered stuff on patreon.com/welcometorealityTV, Twitter @realityTVpod, Instagram and Facebook, Welcome to Reality TV. Check those show notes for an easy link. And until next time, stay salty.